Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
So let's jump into the message. So this year we've been looking at three big questions. What are we supposed to do? Or what are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? Kind of jumped the gun on that one. And how are we supposed to do it? So we've been walking through these questions recently. A few weeks ago, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Gary went through and talked about elders and their role in the church and what they were doing, what they have to do, and all the things that they're responsible for. And they walked us through some of the different qualifications that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And the importance of finding men that are going to exemplify these values to lead the church. Last week, Philip talked about being a church member, some of the qualifications that are required to be a church member and to be a part of the Oak Tree Community Church family. And the most important part is being saved, accepting salvation from Christ, believing in the pure gospel. And that simply is that Christ is God, that he came to earth and was born of Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life, despite the fact that he was tempted just like we are every single day. He suffered and died on the cross. He was raised from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. His one-time sacrifice, just one time, has paid all the sins, past, present, and future. So every sin that's ever been committed has already been paid for by his sacrifice. Now, all we have to do to receive that salvation is just simply believe on Jesus and ask him. So that's what gets us into the larger global church. So the global church is all of the believers all together. It's every single person that has believed in Jesus. So this is the family of families. And since the global church is a family of families, that means that the local church is the little family that becomes part of the big family. So to join the small family, part of that is declaring your all-in dedication to Jesus Christ, getting baptized, and accepting membership in a local church. And that's what gets you into the local family. But being part of a family, everyone has a role to play. Everyone has something that they need to do. Everyone, you know, has a piece of the puzzle that they take care of. So in order for a family to work and function correctly, everyone has to play their part. Everyone has to, you know, fulfill their role. Missed that one. So in some recent messages, we've talked, you know, a few months back, we talked about metaphorically, you know, what the church is like. We talked about the shepherd and the flock. We talked about, you know, the vine and the branches, where Jesus is the vine and we're the branches that live with Jesus. We talked about Jesus as the cornerstone and the church is the building that's built upon that solid stone. And we even looked at how Jesus is the head and we're the body of the church. For each one of these metaphors to work, each person has to do their part. So like with the shepherd and flock, if we don't listen to the shepherd, if we wander off, then we risk when we risk having to be rescued by the shepherd. We have to, you know, have him come out and come get us because we're not listening to him. And in the vine and branches, if we don't choose to work with the vine, how are we expecting to be fruitful? How are we expecting the vine to actually be healthy? With the cornerstone, if we're not willing to be anchored to the rest of the building, we just kind of roll off and we're now just in a pile of rubble around the building, not really being part of it. And with the metaphor of the body and head, if we're parts of the body and we don't function the way we're supposed to, how do we expect the body to be healthy? It's not going to be, because we have to play the part that we're expected to play. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're not playing that part that you're going to be kicked out of the church or, you know, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not it at all. You have to understand, once you're in, you're in. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, that's it. You are in the family, okay, forever. You're in the global church. You will never get booted out. But in the local family, okay, you have a part to play, then it's a very important part. If you think back to your own, think about your own family and think about, you know, there's probably people in your family that aren't like really participating in the family, people that you don't know particularly well, maybe a distant uncle or aunt, you see them every Christmas maybe, you know, your cousins that live, you know, three states away that you might see, you know, once a year, or even a brother or sister that just simply moved away and stopped communicating with anybody. Who knows where they went? So the thing is, technically these people are still part of your family, but their effect on your family is kind of almost nil because it's like you don't see them, you don't talk to them, they don't really play a part with you. Same thing with the church family. If all your commitment is to just show up on Christmas or Easter or just show up and fill the chair, then really your effect on the rest of the family is not going to be very powerful. I mean, people are going to know you, but they're not going to really, you know, you're not really going to have an effect on them. You're not going to really play a part in their life. And especially like when you miss service, then people should be missing you, because if you're a fully functioning part of the family, if you're a fully functioning family member, then when you're not here, people are like, hey, where'd they go? They weren't here today. You want people to miss you when you're not here. And by the way, just as an aside, we hope that when you're missing church, you're actually missing being here, not just like you're missing and it's like, yeah, you know, that's what I do on Sundays. So we hope that you miss not being with us. So before we launch into the rest of the message, it's probably a good time to take a look at the membership covenant. Okay, this is tiny, so you can't read it. I realize that. So I put it up on the screen for you. Now, this is not in landscape like our thing, so I figured out a clever way to get it on the screen so everyone can see the whole thing. There we go. All right, now if everyone will take their head and turn it 90 degrees to the left, the rest of the service will just go through this like this. Actually, no, that's terrible. Here. I've broken this down. Ah, there we go. I've broken this down. There's four sections of scripture that we have that we say, this is what we want to do. I will protect the unity of the church. I will share the responsibility of my church. I will share the responsibility of ministry. And I will support the testimony of my church. Each one of these is actually supported by scripture. I have the scripture up here, but you don't have to write it down if you don't want to, because I'm highly recommending that when you leave today, please take one of these. They're on the table out there. Okay, please take a membership covenant, and you can look up all the scripture that we have that supports our views. So this first part is, I will protect the unity of the church. Okay, and that's super important, because if anybody who's been part of a church before where things just kind of fell apart, if there's not unity, it doesn't last very long. You know, without any unity, there's no cohesion, then everyone just kind of goes their own way. Well, really anything. I mean, like any business, any company, any, you know, family, things just don't go well if there's not unity within the body. So one of the things that we pledge is that we pledge that we're going to, you know, support the unity of our church. One of the scriptures I really like is, I like Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for building up one another. You're going to hear that a lot through this message. So that's going to be like another, it's not part of what we're talking about. It's not one of the supporting scriptures, but I think it really works in well with ministry. The next section on the membership covenant is, I will share the responsibility of my church. And there's three verses here that we've pulled from the Bible and say, hey, you know, this is what we believe. Part of that is the elders can't be responsible for every aspect of what's going on in the church. It's just simply impossible. It takes a fully functioning, fully healthy body of people to make the church work. You've got, you know, work days that we have. can't just have Gary and Daniel out there, you know, hammering gutters back on and, you know, painting things. Worship service, it would look really funny if it was just Gary and Daniel up here, okay? You know, all of the things that go on, someone's got to do AV. We all have to work together as a body, and for that, we all have to share the responsibility of what the church has to do and serve. And take it seriously, too. Now, the next section is, I will serve the ministry of the church. We're going to come back to that. We're going to finish going through the rest of the membership covenant. And here's our last section of scripture. This is, I will support the testimony of my church. In this one, we talk about, you know, sharing good with those who teach us, being here at the meetings regularly, you know, don't forsake them, supporting the church by being upstanding people, support the testimony so that when people, you know, go like, oh, I know Oak Tree Community Church, those are some good people, you know. So support the testimony of the church so that people want to be here, people want to come in, they want to actually be around us, they actually want to join us. They're not like, those people are hypocrites, you know, they don't believe in anything that they say. No, we want to support the testimony of the church, we want to support it in a good way. We don't want to become a stumbling block for others. And this last section, I tilted it the right way this time. This last section is just simply, it's going over the fact that, you know, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I have been immersed in water baptism, or I plan on it. If you haven't been water baptized, that's okay, because we can plan for it. And that you're in agreement with the Oak Tree Statement of Faith, which is this guy here, okay? And this guy are right next to each other on the table. So if you go out there and you find this one, you'll find this one. Highly encourage you to take one of these home. Philip had mentioned this last week. I really highly recommend that you take home our statement of faith. Everything that's in here, this is what you're officially going to hear from this platform. All of these points, all backed up by scripture. Matter of fact, not only are you going to hear it on the platform, anytime officially when we have like small groups or we have anything that's going on, this is officially what the church believes. This is what you're going to be hearing. This is what you're going to be taught. So now that we've looked at the entire membership covenant, let's focus in on I will serve and support the ministry of the church. So on the covenant actually lists three different verses that we're going to go through a lot more in depth. It starts actually with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, but I'm actually going to start today with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And in those verses, we find, and he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, that is, to build up the body of Christ. So in this part, it says, I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped to serve by my pastor. So how do we go about that? Well, it's the job of the pastors and the teachers of this church to teach good scripture, good doctrine from the platform. It's a job. It's our job to actually be able to give you, you know, good information, correct information, so that when you're going through this, you know what it is that's correct. Okay, so it's our job to do a good job teaching. As we've talked about before, you know, we follow the path here, and the third step on the path is knowledge. And how do we know that? Well, because if we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence, to excellence knowledge. So once you've taken the all-in step of joining the church, the step of excellence, once you've taken the choice to actually get water baptized, now it's time to learn. Now it's time to build knowledge. But here's the thing. Knowledge can't be forced into your brain. I mean, no one can just like kind of smush it in there. If they could, that would be awesome, because there's lots of things I would like to learn like really quickly. But it's just not going to happen. As much as I think Pastor Daniel would love to be able to go out in the audience and just, you know, push the Bible into your head, it's just not going to happen. It's just not. We have to take responsibility when we're here in order to learn these things and to build our knowledge. And we do that by, we take notes during sermons. We have tables that you can sit at. You can take notes. We do that by paying attention and really listening in and writing down things that, oh, you know, I didn't really think of that. We do that by attending second hour, which, I mean, you can't do that today because of Mother's Day, but that's okay because, you know, that's a special day for moms. But every second hour, you can ask the questions like, oh, you know what, I just thought of something. You know, what about this? And so that's your chance to do that. And your personal, you have to be personally dedicated to read your Bible, to pick up your Bible and read it at night, read it during the day, read it whenever you have time when you're outside of church. This knowledge is what helps you to become not ineffective and not unproductive, okay? With this knowledge that you can actually go forth and you can do things, you can build the wisdom to know, what does God want me to do? How do I live rightly? And it's through this knowledge that we find out that God wants us to also serve him. He wants us to live a life of service. How do we know this? Well, Paul tells us. He tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service." So Paul says it's our reasonable service. It's a reasonable sacrifice for us to make, to present our bodies as holy and pleasing to God. It's our reasonable sacrifice to present ourselves to the God who saved us from death and hell, who we're going to spend an eternity in paradise with. It's our reasonable service to sacrifice our time here while we're on earth. And it's through knowledge that we learn these things. We learn these things because we actually read the Bible and we go through it. It's also through knowledge that we learn that God has good things that he's created, and he wants us to do them. Again, Paul tells us, but this time in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his creative work, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we can do them." The important part is God doesn't need us to do these things. He wants us to do these things. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to come along with him and do these good things. That's why he created the opportunities to do them. If he didn't create them, he wouldn't say that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The point is that we've all been put on this earth to make a contribution. We've all been put on this planet to actually do something more with our lives than just simply consume the resources that we have around us. Everywhere a Christian goes, they should be bringing life. They should be bringing the word of God and telling other people. Everywhere a Christian goes, they should be willing to serve God and serve their fellow Christians in ministry. By serving and following in some capacity, sacrificing for others, we then are sacrificing ourselves for God. We make ourselves pleasing to him. And the thing is, even our greatest example did just that. Jesus, when he was here, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. How do we know that? Well, that's in a different section, if I can get my finger to work. There it is, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ spent his time on this earth serving God, God the Father. That was his mission. He came here, and it was important for him to do that. And Jesus is our example. If it's important for Jesus to spend his life serving others, then how much more is it important for us to spend our lives in some kind of ministry serving others? I actually read a great quote just recently. I really like this quote, and it says, "What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of it." See, service for us shouldn't be something that's optional, like, oh, I'll fit it in when I have time. Service for us should be something that we consider important in our lives. It should be very important, because it was important to Jesus. That's why he came. So my point is, while it's supposed to be a very important part of your life, one thing I do want to make a point about, while you're thinking about this is, although ministry should be a priority in your life, what you need to understand is that even small ministries are good. Even small ministries make God happy. Your ministry, the ministry that you do, doesn't have to affect millions of people. You don't have to get up on a televangelist stage and affect thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. That's not the point. The point isn't how many people you affect. The point is that you're giving yourself to God. You're sacrificing your time and your life. And the thing is that even the small ministries are important to God. Let me give you a little example. Nice, bright room. Okay? So a large light, like we have with the chandelier here, is very powerful. Okay? It's really good to have in your home. You know, especially in some place that you spend a lot of time, like your living room or home office, some place where you're going to do a lot of working or, you know, studying, maybe even just pondering the Bible and how it applies to your life, okay? The thing is that a good light is really important, and a really nice bright light is really important for doing some of these things. But the problem is a bright light's not always useful, okay? When would that be? Well, how about bedtime? Okay, you don't want to get all comfortable in your bed and snuggled up and ready to go to sleep, and you've got this bright light, so now you feel like you're sitting on the equator in the middle of the afternoon with this giant light shining on you. What would work better? A nice little nightlight. It's gentle, it's nice, you can sleep by it, but the light is powerful enough that when you get up in the middle of the night, you don't stumble and fall and break your head open. You can actually see where you're going. The thing about it is, while the light that it gives off is not powerful, it's still incredibly useful. Because without that, one, you can't go to sleep. Well, I mean, if you could, I can sleep anywhere, so I disqualify myself with that. But most people, I mean, you're not going to be able to sleep with the lights on. But this little guy is nice and gentle. You can sleep with it. But when you need to use it, its light is incredibly useful. If you think back to the vine and branches illustration that we had gone through before, I think Philip was the one who gave that one, that message. God the Father is presented as the gardener. He's the one that prunes the branches. God himself is the one who decides how fruitful each vine branch is going to be. So even though each branch is different, each branch bears a different amount of fruit, the whole point is the fruit is good. It's good fruit. It's great fruit. It's the fruit that God wants. Some have a little more than others, but that's okay. It's all pleasing to God. So moving on to the next verse, now we're into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Okay, so we looked at, you know, being equipped by the pastor for being for doing ministry. So let's now focus on the next verse of the covenant. And in this one, Peter says, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. So in order to serve in ministry, we not only have to be equipped with knowledge, we not only have to be equipped with what we know what we're doing, but we have to have some sort of giftedness in it. If you're no good at doing something, it's probably not something you want to do as your ministry. I've tried to learn how to play an instrument. I'm not good at it. I found that out. I can kind of do it, but I'm just not good. So I'm not going to be a member of the worship team. That's okay, because there's other ways that I can serve. There's other things that I can do. It's what we do is what we have to do is we have to explore who we are. We have to find out who we are. And in that, we've talked about this before. I'm not going to go into it in great depth. I'm going to kind of go over each part of it. But we talk about our shape. And that is S for spiritual gifts, H for heart, A for abilities. We have P for personality and E for experiences. So these five things, all right, they're how you are uniquely shaped. They are what uniquely makes you up as a person. And it's also how it helps you to serve God and to do the things that he wants you to do. So the first one, let's look at spiritual gifts. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, we read, "It is one and the same Spirit distributing as he decides to each person who produces all these things." So it's God through the Holy Spirit who decides who gets what spiritual gift. You don't get to decide. God decides for you. God decides, where do I want this person to fit in? Where do I want this person to fit into the group, and what gifts do I want to give them in order to do my ministry within the church? And they're all different gifts. Here's just some of them. Some people are spiritually gifted to be leaders. You know, some people are just gifted to be leaders within the body. Some people are gifted to be teachers. Some people can take very complicated ideas and break them down into simpler things so that everyone can understand. Some people are meant to be helpers. You know, they make, you know, all the heavy work light because they're always available. They're always wanting to help out. They're always wanting to do good and lend a hand. And then still others have the ability to show kindness and mercy, to help people when they're in need and to see that they have a need and to actually try and fulfill it. And God gives us these gifts to share with people. He doesn't give them to us to just selfishly keep, okay? We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we're told, "To each person the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all." Your spiritual gift is given to benefit everyone, not just you. Your spiritual gifts are given so that you can benefit the entire body of Christ. Your spiritual gifts are given so that you can make the local church a healthier and better place to be in. So two things to consider. One is that it's God that gives us the gift, okay? No matter how much we pray for something, it's God who actually gives us the gift. And second of all, it's God who wants us to actually share that with somebody or to share that with the whole group. The thing is God doesn't give each person all the spiritual gifts. He distributes them one to each and every person, okay? So the only way that, you know, the body functions properly is if everyone uses their spiritual gift together. If you're not using your spiritual gift, there's a part of the body that's suffering because you're not participating, and you're a necessary part. Everyone here is a very necessary part. Talking about heart. So simply put, this is like your passions. This drives you. In the morning when you get up out of bed, this is the reason you get up out of bed. These are the things that your desires, your interests, your passions, the things that motivate you, that give you enthusiasm. Otherwise, you just lay in bed all day and be like, well, you know, I guess there's nothing to do. No, your heart is given to you by God so that you actually want to get up and you're motivated to do something with your life. They're the things that drive you and energize you, and they're very important in ministry because when the world's weighing down on you and everything's going wrong, these passions, these desires, this enthusiasm was what helps you to keep going, okay? No matter what's going up against you, this enthusiasm helps you keep going and moving forward. Like our spiritual gifts, they're all different. Everyone's passions are different. Some people may have similar things that they're interested in, but then also things that, you know, dissimilar things that they're interested in, and that's good. It's good that everyone has different interests and desires and loves because that's what makes it a healthy body, is all of our passions working together to make a healthy body. It gives us variation. It gives us the ability to do things in multiple areas instead of just all focusing on just one thing. And then there's our abilities. Okay, so these are a lot of natural talents that you have, things that you can just do, you know, talents you can just pull out of your back pocket and be like, oh yeah, I can do that. Let me give you some examples. Everyone loves examples. Let me give you a few. Good at athletics, fast learner, good at repairing things, painter, singer, carpentry, needlepoint, that's a good one, remembering facts and figures, making friends. Some of these abilities are things you're just born with, you know, things that you just are naturally good at, and man, you can just do them. Other things are skills and abilities that you pick up over time. One very important skill or ability is like learning a foreign language. obviously you're not born knowing any language. You know, you have to learn that as a child. But one of the skills that you can pick up is a second language as you go along. So another skill that you can learn as you go along is learning how to play an instrument. You know, that's a very useful skill as well. And these skills and abilities, you want to have these, you want to use these in your ministry because they're going to make you very, very effective. They're going to make it so that you can actually do things quickly, easily, because that's how God made you. It's like your spiritual gifts, they're gifts from God. They energize your ministry, and they make it a lot more fun to do it. And they shouldn't be wasted. You shouldn't just keep these talents to yourself. You need to actually share these talents with other people. You need to share them because you're good at things that other people aren't good at. And we all work together, and we all come together as one family to do things that, you know, that need to get done. And one thing about abilities that's really great is you can always pick up some more along the way. You don't know what you're good at until you try something. So at least try something once. I mean, give it a shot, you know. Maybe you want to try, you know, playing an instrument. You won't know if you're any good at it until you actually try. Or you may not be good at one instrument, but good at another instrument. Like guitar, you know, if you can contort your fingers into doing all the chords and stuff. Or maybe you're better at piano, you know. You don't know. You won't know unless you actually try it. And the thing is, sometimes people will sit in the background and be like, well, you know, there's nothing special about me. There's, you know, I can't do anything. I don't have any skills or ability. Well, that's not true. In researching this message, what I found was they've done some studies researching people's skills and abilities. And what they found is the average person, just the average person, has between 500 and 700 skills or abilities that they possess. Okay. If you're just the average person, you have at least 500 things that you can do that maybe other people can't do. It makes you special. You do have special things that you can do. The problem is it's not whether or not you can do them, it's whether or not you choose to participate and try them. Only you can choose to participate. And then we get into our personality. So now we get into how people are different. Some people are introverts. They want to stay at home and, you know, they want to do things quietly alone. Other people are extroverts. They're much happier when they're with a group of people talking about their lives and talking about things that are going on. Some people are thinkers. Some are feelers. Some are sensing. Some are intuitive. Some judge their surroundings while others perceive it. The way you perceive and the way you see life, it's all wrapped up in your personality. There's no one best personality for ministry, and there's no one best temperament for it. We're all different because that's the way God made us. He wants us to be different. Otherwise, he wouldn't create all these different, you know, ways of doing things. He wouldn't create all these different personality traits. And lastly, experiences. Okay, so this is where you are incredibly unique. There is no two people that have, you know, experiences that are the same, okay? And this is the example I'll give you. Imagine two people are at, you know, we'll say like you're at a magic show, okay? And two people standing there, same spot, well, not exactly the same spot, but next to each other, watching the same event, same time, experiencing it together, both people will have completely different experiences. Okay, it's going to be completely different. And I'll give you an example why. Okay, so we're at a magic show. Now imagine one of the skills or abilities that you've decided to develop is a love of magic. So now you're standing there watching this guy pull, you know, a rabbit out of the hat, and you're like, okay, well, how did he do that? Well, what's he doing? How is he misdirecting the audience? You know, where did the rabbit come from? The other person next to you has never studied magic. To them, literally what they're looking at, it's magic. That guy just pulled a rabbit out of the hat. It's pretty cool. Your experiences, because of your abilities, because of your personality, because of who you are, it's going to completely color your experience completely differently. So that's how two people can experience the same thing and yet walk away with a completely different experience. With experiences, a lot of times people kind of limit them to just like, well, I have a similar experience. The best example I can give you is like if you're a survivor of abuse and you're working with someone who is also a survivor of abuse, it really helps because it's like it helps them understand, hey, there is people that have gone through the same thing that I have. This other person can empathize with me. They can understand what I'm going through. And you can share that experience. You can build that empathy. And that's really, really super important. But experience can go a little deeper than that. Let's say, you know, say as a child, you were timid, okay? And you always wanted to stay in the background. You never wanted anyone to notice you. And now you're working in children's ministry and you're in there and you're trying to help the kids, you know, experience God and participate. And you see one child that's just kind of hanging back and doesn't really want to get up in there and, you know, have anybody notice them. Your experiences as that child, you don't have the same experiences, but you have similar experiences. You know what it was that you needed in order for you to want to actually participate. You can use that experience to help this child actually participate and get more out of their time. You can use their experience to do that. The last verse we're going to look at is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is for developing a servant's heart. Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interests, but about the interests of others as well. So here Paul is exhorting us. He's saying, hey, look, you know, you need to be concerned about other people. That's part of what developing a healthy body of believers is all about. You develop a healthy body of believers because everybody's concerned with everybody else. But here's the thing. Paul doesn't tell you to forsake what you're doing. He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, never think of yourself. He's just telling you, hey, the selfish things, try to give those up, but think about other people. You know, try and figure out what's going on with them. Give them some consideration. Consider what's going on in their lives. With that, it helps you develop a mindset, a completely different mindset. It helps you to develop like a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, a servant's mindset to want to help and serve other people. The mindset of a servant is often thinking about, well, how can I help in this situation? What can I do? Where can I help best in this situation? What can I do best in this situation? A person with a true servant's heart doesn't wait around for someone to ask them, hey, you know, we need your help. They're always kind of looking around. Now, you're not, you know, like physically forcing yourself in places. You know, that's just not cool. But what you're doing is you're, you know, someone with a servant's heart is looking for a need and then saying, hey, you know, I noticed you look sad today, you know. How can I help? You know, what can I do? Someone with a servant's heart, they look around, they try to find the needs and they try to help satisfy that. They look for the struggling situations and then they try to, you know, try to see what it is that they can do. What skills and abilities, what spiritual gifts do they have that they can help? And another thing that, you know, people with a servant's heart also realize is that a lot of times things that happen aren't going to happen when they're convenient. They don't happen when we have large, you know, openings on our schedule and be like, oh, well, you know, I can help this person. There's nothing else going on for the next couple hours and I'll be good. Nope. When we have an opportunity, we're supposed to take it. Okay, where'd it go? Ah, that was really weird. We know that because Paul tells us this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Okay. And he says, so then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who belong to the family of faith. So here Paul is telling us whenever we see an opportunity, we should take the time to help people. Now, here's the thing is Paul doesn't say when it's opportune for us. He says when there's an opportunity. Those are two completely different ideas. What Paul is saying is that when you see an opportunity, it might not be that the best time for you, but if you see an opportunity and it's time, you know, and you can serve that person, someone with a servant's mindset says, okay, you know what? I have skills or abilities. I have things that I can use to help that person. even though it's not convenient for me to do it at that time, I still have some way that I can help that person through this. Someone with a servant's mindset accepts that. They also accept giving up the absolute rigidity of setting their schedule no matter what, because God doesn't work through our rigid schedule. He sometimes comes up and says, hey, here's an opportunity. It's up to us to look and see it and take it. It's up to us to actually take the advantage of that opportunity because, again, going back to Ephesians 2, verse 10, God's created things for us to do. He wants us to do these good works. Okay, he wants us to take these opportunities to do them when we see them. And for someone who develops a servant's heart, even the little things matter. Okay, a lot of times people are only worried about the big things, but even the little things matter. You know, sometimes you see stuff, like you see something laying on the ground that someone could, you know, trip over. You just reach down, pick it up, and throw it away. Not a big deal, but it's important to God because even in the little things, if you're faithful in those, that's what brings joy to God. He wants us to be faithful in both the big things and the little things. He doesn't want us to ever feel like any task or any opportunity is beneath us because it's so small. Big or little things tend to add up. You know, if when you're doing a lot of little things, they add up to big things. So when you have that opportunity, you should take it, even if it's something that's small. And the other thing too is when you decide to work on a task, see it all the way through. Don't just start on something and be like, well, you know, I'm out of time, sorry. You know, see the task through. If you promise something, fulfill your promise. You know, do things that you say that you're going to do. But the most important thing is try to keep everything in perspective. Someone with a servant's heart keeps things in perspective. And by that, I mean, we understand we don't own anything here. When we die, we're not taking anything with us. It's not coming with us. We don't own anything. We don't own our lives. Jesus purchased us. So we don't even own our time. We are stewards. We manage what we have been given by God, and we should manage it well. When we die, God's not going to ask us, hey, how big was that house? And 5,000 square feet. All right, good. No, he doesn't care about that. He wants to know how we managed what we had and when, whether or not we managed it well. Did we manage our time well? Did we take the opportunities? Did we do the things that are pleasing to God? So let's talk about putting it all together. So we talked about gifts, we talked about talents, being equipped to serve, having a servant's heart, but this is where the rubber meets the road. Because you can talk about doing something all you want, but you're not actually useful if you're just talking about it and not actually doing something. At some point, your knowledge has to be channeled into actual useful energy. You have to actually be willing to put it into practice. At this point, we have to start living out the faith that we have. So what are some ways that we can serve in ministry? Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you very much. So some ways that we can serve in ministry, we have Treehouse Kids. Now, granted, we don't have a lot of children that show up. However, it'd probably be great to have an extra adult or two in the rotation so that, you know, when we have our adults that normally serve, they can be here in service with us and not just always back there serving. It'd be great, you know, to be able to have that rotation where there's more people. Another thing, are you musically inclined? We could always use some more people, you know, doing worship service. The thing is that they help us get us in the mood. We get to worship God and sing, and then they get us in the mood for the message. But the thing is that they have to show up. They have to do the things. They have to actually practice and stuff. But they need people, you know. Again, it would be really weird if it was just Pastor Daniel and Pastor Gary up here doing the whole worship service. It's not feasible. It's just not sustainable. So if you're musically inclined, I mean, you know, talk to our worship leaders, you know, see, hey, you know, I'm kind of interested. I mean, we have people in the back doing audio visual. I know we have some people learning it right now. You know, there's always room for more people. Without them, like, these don't function. I mean, they barely function now, but without these guys, I mean, it wouldn't function at all. I mean, you'd just be up in blank screens and be like, oh, okay, well, you know, hand puppets, you know, do some shadow stuff. Or we have a community garden. I mean, even that is just, you know, just getting to know people, going out there and working soil with some fellow Christians and just getting to know them and talk to them and work with them and see what do they need in their lives? How can I help them? How can I serve them? But if you don't actually spend time with them and actually talk to them, how do you know? You don't really know that person. Another thing was, I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks ago, Pastors Daniel and Pastor Gary, they had put out some information in the weekly email saying, hey, you know, we have some extra positions, you know, maybe we want to, you know, look at for if you want, you know, opportunities to serve. Those positions, as far as I know, are still open. If you want to get more information about that, I'm sure Pastor Daniel and Pastor Gary would be more than happy to give it to you. If you can't track them down, it's okay because they have email and WhatsApp. WhatsApp's really super helpful. So if you wanted to get more involved, just ask them. The other thing too is, as great as it is to serve in this church too, don't be afraid to look at outside opportunities to serve. There's lots of good organizations out there that are looking for volunteers. You know, you can spend some time outside of the church, you know, helping other people, spreading the love of God. I know that there are several people right now, they're trying to work, they're trying to find a good group opportunity for us as a church to get together and do some outside ministry together. It hasn't really coalesced to anything yet, but we're still kind of working on it. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But don't be afraid to engage in your own personal ministry, because your personal ministry, it's yours. It's personal. Maybe you'll do something and be like, hey, we could try this. Come back. Let us know. You know, maybe something you found that you really enjoy. So to give you some final thoughts before I wrap it up. We've looked at the membership covenant, we've talked about serving, we've talked about ministry, we've talked about how important it is. What I really hope is that you see how important it is for us to serve in Oak Tree Church as Christians, as ministers to each other. I really hope that you'll want to take the time and take advantage of actually serving one another. Ministry should be important to us. The problem is like out there right now, there's a lot of people saying in churches, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me. But that's kind of the wrong attitude. That's really not the right attitude. The attitude that we should have is, I want to be in a church where I serve others and be a blessing. Remember, Jesus didn't come to serve, or didn't come to be served. He came to serve. That was his whole mission here. And if it was important for Jesus to serve while he was here, it should be important for us as well. We should be serving other people. We're meant for ministry. Because if you're not serving, then you're just kind of here existing. You're just kind of, you know, here with everyone else. I mean, big deal. But God says, again, I go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He's created opportunities for us. He wants us to take advantage of us. He wants to do good work with us. But we have to take the opportunity. We have to be the ones that want to do it. We have to be the ones that want to be useful in this life. And remember, I love this quote, it's not the duration of your life, it's the donation of it. It doesn't matter how long you lived. If all you ever did was just live for yourself, it's really not that valuable. If you're living for other people, that's what pleases God. There's an old Danish proverb. I love this one. There's an old Danish proverb. It says, what you are is God's gift to you. So who you are, that's God's gift to you. He's gifted you with all of these things. But it's what you do with that. That's your God, or that's your gift back to God. Okay? That's what you do with what you are. Serving him, doing things, serving other people. That's how you give back to God. So my thought is, let's try and be the best gift that we can be back to God. So here's my challenge. Wrap it all up. Here's my challenge to you. If you're not a member, okay? If you're not a member, please take one of these membership covenants and take one of these statements of faith home with you today, okay? Just please take it home, look it over during the week, look at the scripture, you know, look it up, kind of, you know, see what it says, and just prayerfully consider, you know, should I get more involved? Should I become a member of the church, okay? Should I be more involved? That's my challenge to you. If you are a member of Oak Tree Community Church, Here's my challenge to you. Take a membership covenant and take a statement of faith home with you. And please, during the week, read these, read the scripture, and prayerfully recommit yourself to what it is that we've agreed to. Because it's not, this isn't Pastor Daniel or Pastor Gary's thoughts on what we should do. This is God's. This is his scripture. This is what God's telling us to do. This is the same thing. This is God's scripture. So please take that opportunity.